Last Sunday morning, we talked about character and what it means to the Christian. And the fact that we use that term in a couple of different ways. We say that fellow's a man of character, and that automatically implies something positive. On the other hand, we might specify, you know, here's a person of questionable character, or here's a person of sound character. And as we said, we're talking about what's on the inside of the person. This evening, I want to sort of follow that up with a lesson about personality. And I think as we talk more this evening, you're going to see that there's a little bit of difference. There's a lot of overlap, but there's a little bit of difference between personality and the character that's on the inside of us. Webster's Dictionary says a personality is a set of emotional qualities, ways of behaving, etc., that makes a person different from other people. And so we sort of distinguish between one another, and different people have different personalities, and we sort of pick up on that, and it kind of helps us define who people are by the way they behave, the way they speak, the way they react to things emotionally, and so forth. Now, the question we need to ask this evening is a person's personality important to God? And maybe a better way to word it to make the answer maybe a little more obvious is a person's behavior important to God? And I think the obvious answer to that question is yes, our behavior matters to God. And our behavior is so wrapped up in our personalities, we can't divorce the two. We can't just separate the two. And to a certain extent, our personalities are important. And I could have some personality traits that, frankly, God's not pleased with. And if that's the case, I need to go fix those. I can't just simply say, well, that's just the way I am. If it's something in my outward behavior, my way of speaking, those kind of things that are in violation of the principles that I see taught in the New Testament, then I need to go fix those things. Okay? But we're going to talk about personality and character because they're not exactly the same. You know, we said last Sunday morning that our character is reflected in what we do when we think no one is looking. And I think that's not a bad way to look at character. Sometimes we can put on a good front before other people, but sometimes if we think nobody else is around and we start making decisions based on the fact that nobody's looking, sometimes we may find ourselves making some bad decisions because good people that are concerned about the way we behave are not necessarily there to look over our shoulder. And if that's the case, then I've got a character problem on the inside. I need to go fix that so that my outward behavior is really more of a reflection of what's on the inside. We said that a person who has a godly character is a person who's determined to do God's will all the time for the express purpose of pleasing God. That's what my motive is. In every decision I make in life, if my character on the inside is right, I'm going to have a desire to please God all the time. And that's the reason I want to do the right things, is to please Him. And so when good folks are around and they're looking, that's fine. If good folks are not around looking over my shoulder, doesn't matter. I'm still going to want to do the right thing. And of course, we looked at all of those scenarios last Sunday morning. You know, having a godly character, being the kind of person we ought to be on the inside, demands that we learn what God's will is. If a godly character means that I'm motivated to do God's will all the time and please Him, I need to know what that is. I can't just guess at what God likes. There are too many people in the religious world today doing that, guessing what God likes based on what I like, and that's not the way to do it. But we find in Ephesians 5:17 that it is possible to understand what the will of the Lord is, because we're told not to be unwise, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. It's possible to do that. But we've also looked at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 over and over and over again, you know, but you can't overemphasize it. We can go to the inspired scriptures and find everything we need to be perfect, to be thoroughly furnished unto every good work in the eyes of God. That's where we go to find out what God's will is. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, we learn that it's going to take some diligent effort. We're not going to get it through osmosis. So we've got to get the inspired Word of God down and read it and study it and put some diligent effort into understanding what the will of the Lord is by digesting what's in that book. Now, as I learn what the will of the Lord is, I'm going to need to add the things to my character that are remiss in my life. Add things to my character that I'm short on, that God wants me to have in my character. On the other hand, there may be some things already in my character when I come and lay my life at Jesus' feet that frankly violate God's will, and I need to get rid of those things. I need to cut that stuff out so that over time my character begins to look more and more like the character God wants me to have. We're told we are to conform ourselves to the image of His Son. And over time, people should be able to see Christ living us, because we're going through this exercise over and over again on a daily basis to try to improve ourselves, be the kind of people God would have us to be. Now, what's the relationship between character and personality? A person's character is going to be reflected in their personality. I mean, there's no way we can get away from that. If my outward behavior is part of what I'm perceived by other people in terms of what my personality is, and my outward behavior, Jesus said, is going to be determined by what's on the inside of my heart, then my character is going to have an impact on my personality. Now, we're going to talk this evening about the fact that God is indifferent. He is indifferent to certain personality traits. There are some things about people's behavior and the way they speak and so forth that God couldn't care less about. And we're going to look at that in more detail in a minute. But there are things God doesn't care about. Now, if I were to come to God as a new convert and I'm baptized into Christ, I put on Christ, God adopts me into His family, and now I go to work on my character. But you know, when I come to Christ, I may have some real issues. Okay, I may have some real character issues. There are things I've just habitually done before I became a Christian that are no longer acceptable. There are other things I should be engaged in as a Christian that I've just never really thought a whole lot about before. And I need to start making some changes to my character. Now, I start making the changes. You think any of my friends around me are going to notice any difference? You recall Peter talked to some people who are now Christians, and he said, there are people you used to hang around with who are going to think it's strange that you no longer run in the excessive riot that you used to. You used to be the life of the party, maybe, and now you're no longer the life of the party. Sometimes when we start changing our character to match what God wants it to be, people are going to notice a difference on the outside, and they may perceive some of that as a personality change, and that's not a bad thing. Sometimes there are things we need to change in our behavior. Now, when you think about some of the apostles like James and John and Peter and Paul, just as examples, I would ask you, knowing what we know about these men, do you think anybody that knew these fellows might have noticed some change in their behavior, the way they talked, their attitudes, their personalities? I don't know. But Jesus nicknamed James and John, the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder. Okay? These fellows apparently had a temper. Okay, and we just had a scripture reading a moment ago. Jesus and His disciples are heading toward Jerusalem. They come to some village in Samaria. We're not told what the village is, but they come to some village in Samaria, and instead of providing provisions for them and being cooperative and so forth, these people, I mean, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along particularly well. Since these fellows are traveling toward Jerusalem, they just figure they're Jews and they don't want to have any part in providing them any assistance. And James and John's first reaction was, "Lord, do you want us to call for fire to come down and burn this village up?" Well, you know, before they met Jesus, that's the way they saw problems, you know. They were sons of thunder. And then when you read the writings of John in his gospel in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, what a turnaround. He is the disciple of love. He on and on gushing about love among brethren and so forth all the time. You think Christ didn't make a difference in that man's life and his whole outlook on life and his attitude toward other people? You think the people that knew John in his earlier years didn't read stuff he wrote later and say, "Is this the same guy?" Of course they're going to notice some change in the way people behave because they've met the Lord. You know, Peter had a real reputation for being real impetuous, you know, and he was sort of put his mouth in gear before his brain was engaged and those kind of, and you know, great guy, but that was just the kind of guy he was. Even up till toward the end of Jesus' life, and he Jesus was talking about people forsaking him, said, "Not me, Lord, I'd never forsake you. I'd never deny you." And Jesus said, "Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. No, Lord, not me." Well, that's exactly what he did. But you know, Peter made a big turnaround. And when you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you see a rock-solid disciple of Jesus leading people in the direction they ought to go. You think people couldn't tell the difference in Peter's personality? And the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is probably the greatest example of all. It's not just that he was motivated to persecute Christians because he didn't understand who Jesus was. He said, I was an insolent man. I was a violent man. I wore my indignation toward other people on my sleeve all the time. He was an insolent, violent man. And now you see him going around preaching and teaching the gospel with his fellow workers in Christ, preaching and teaching to people and saving their souls. Saul of Tarsus was a totally different person. You think you could tell any difference in his personality after he met the Lord? Of course you could. Personality is important, but I'm here to tell you it's not the same thing as character. So why are we making this big contrast this evening? Frankly, there's simply some things that don't matter to God. I know that's true. That's not my personal opinion. We're told that. Over in Galatians 3:28, Paul said, in the kingdom of God, there's no Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. He just listed some things that God doesn't care about. And you could have a fellow, you could have a servant sitting here, sitting right next to his boss, and God says, I don't care. I don't see any distinction between you. You're both children of God. You're both my disciples. There are some things that just don't matter to God. How much money you got? Well, go talk to James and find out. He says some rich guy comes in, you put him on the front row, and he's got these rings and jewelry on. You treat him like gold. And some poor guy comes in with dirty clothes on. You say, well, why don't you sit back over the corner where you don't bother anybody? And James said, shame on you. God doesn't care how much money you've got, and we shouldn't either. But there are things about people that God couldn't care less about. Are you circumcised or uncircumcised? That was a big deal with some Jewish Christians in the first century. And Paul said, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. And you're sitting in the same pew, one of them circumcised, the other one not circumcised. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. God couldn't care less. There are things God doesn't care about. There are a lot of things he does, but there are some things in our lives that don't mean anything to him. In Romans chapter 14, Paul has one of his lengthy discussions about eat meat or don't eat meat. Okay, and then that was an issue with some Christians in the first century. And there were people that ate vegetables all the time. Other people had no compunction of conscience by eating meat, and they're sitting side by side in the pew. And there was a problem both ways. You could have a person that ate meat that would look down his nose at a person that only ate vegetables. Or you could have a person that only ate vegetables that feels like the guy sitting next to him is guilty of some kind of sin. And he's not toeing the line with my personal convictions. And Paul said, you both need to leave each other alone because, you know, it doesn't matter whether you eat meat or don't eat meat. Doesn't matter. God doesn't care. Now, if you got a conscience problem on it, you need to leave it alone. But if you can eat meat without violating your own conscience, without putting a stumbling block in the way of your brother, eat meat. God doesn't care. There are things God doesn't care about, and I would maintain that the same thing is true in our personalities. Okay? The scriptures are very clear about what God cares about. And everything else we got to put on the other side of the list. Now, I just threw some things on a chart here just for a point of discussion. But I listed some things like some people are outgoing, other people are shy and quiet. Some people are really humorous, and some people are just kind of a dry personality. Some people are pretty articulate, and other people are pretty plain spoken, you know. Some people are from the South, and some people are from the North, and you can tell by their accents. And it changes people's perceptions of their personalities, doesn't it? Somebody walks in with a strong southern accent in a northern town, and everybody else speaks like a northerner, and you get to know them, and they got a lot of personality traits, but you know what? The fact that they're a southerner, you just can't sort of forget about it. It's part of their personality. You know what? God doesn't care, right? Doesn't matter if you're raised on a farm, raised in the city, if you sort of take your time and you're slow and methodical about getting things done, somebody else rushes through everything. There are things that I don't believe are inherently good or bad as far as God's concerned. It's just a difference in people. And I'm not going to argue about how much of it's genetic and how much of it's the way you raised. It's a mixed bag. You know, one thing that we noticed when we brought our kids home from the hospital is they were different on day one when you brought them home from the hospital. There's some things in your personality that are just sort of part of your genetic makeup. Other things you learn because of the way you were raised. But I'm telling you, there are things in our perceived personalities that God doesn't care about. How do I know? Because he doesn't address them in any way, shape, or form in the scriptures. Has nothing to do with sound character. Now, on the right side of the board, these are some things we talked about Sunday morning: honesty, integrity, sound speech, moral uprightness, convictions about sound doctrine and those kind of things, kindness toward others, willingness to serve others, being even-tempered instead of hot-headed. I mean, all of those things are fundamental to sound character as far as God is concerned. We could take our Sunday morning study in our Bible class in 2 Peter and talk about adding to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Those are not up for negotiation. And somebody could say, well, I'm sorry, I'm not very kind to people, but that's just the way I am. No, that's on the sound character side of the chart, and it's not up for negotiation. If I got a problem with being even-tempered with other people, I better go to work on it. God's not pleased with me if I'm short-tempered. Then I need to go to work on being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. That's not negotiable. That's a command for me. And if that doesn't come natural for me, I better go to work on it. But I would maintain there are things on the other side of the chart that God doesn't care about any more than he cares about circumcision or uncircumcision. Now, why is that important for us for this evening's discussion? Why would I waste the time talking about it? Well, I'll tell you what. We've been commanded to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace among Christians. That's a responsibility of ours. Okay? And we're not talking here about compromising truth. We're not talking about seeing sin in the life of other people and saying, well, I just won't say anything about that. I'll let it slide. I'll sweep it under the rug because after all, I'm trying to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Not what he's talking about. And I'll tell you, if there's sin in my life, if you care anything about me, you'll get me off privately, quietly, someplace, say, John, I think we got a problem here. Here's what the scriptures teach, and here's the kind of behavior you're engaged in, and it looks like to me you got a character problem. I mean, what do you think? Let's pray together. You know, I mean, that's where we show care for one another. We're not talking about sweeping things under the rug, but it takes a lot of effort for 10 people, nonetheless, 50 people or 100 people or 400 people, however big a congregation is, for them to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and everybody get along is difficult to do. Now, we need to be concerned about what's relevant to God. And he's made that very clear to us in the scriptures. And if I got a problem in my life that you know God's concerned about and I haven't fixed it, you better help me fix that, because if it matters to God, it better matter to me. But if there are things that are irrelevant to God, they need to be irrelevant to me. It doesn't matter what my personal preferences are about people's personalities. It doesn't matter if I like Southerners better than I like Northerners. That's the kind of stuff I need to throw out with my pride and put it in the trash can and forget about it. And too many times there are problems in local churches because people can't get over their own personal preferences about other people around them. And it has nothing to do with a person being guilty of sin. They're wearing their personal opinions about other people on their sleeves and expecting everybody else to align to their personal preferences on things that don't matter to God. It's not right. Now, if we think about these personality traits that we talked about a while ago, and these are my personal opinion, you may be able to add some, you may not agree with all of these, but you know, if you think about some of these personality traits that are just sort of neither here nor there, God really doesn't care. The question is, what should my response be if somebody else is outgoing and I like shy people better, or one person's got a master's degree, another guy's got an eighth grade education? God says, I don't care. And you know what? I shouldn't care either. Well, what should be my response on things like this? Well, first of all, let me say that when it comes to character and the kind of character God wants us to have, you know what? Over time, mature Christians ought to look more and more like. We ought to have a bunch of twins sitting in here, okay? I'm dead serious. We ought to be a bunch of twins. And the only reason we're not is because, as we talked about this morning in our Bible class, you got different people that are on that continuum of growth. And a new convert is still working on his character. He's not as far along as somebody who's been a Christian for 4 or 5 years. And you can't expect everybody to be exactly alike. But I'll tell you, mature Christians ought to be twins when it comes to sound character. And there's no excuse for one Christian that says, I've been a Christian 20 years and I still use some bad language sometimes. That's part of my personality. Another Christian sitting next to him said, well, I've gone to work on that and I've fixed that problem. No, we ought to be twins on that. All of us ought to use sound language all the time if we're mature, if we got the kind of character that God wants us to have. But we're going to have different personality traits, folks, even when we do that. Every one of us could be exactly the kind of people God wants us to be, and we're not going to be exactly alike. We're going to have different personalities. And my personal preferences in any of these things that are irrelevant to God are irrelevant. My preferences are irrelevant. It doesn't matter what I think. And I, you know, when Paul talks about considering the other person better than yourself, that's exactly what he's talking about. Put away your selfish pride and look at the other person and say, you know what? They do some things that are irritating to me. I've never liked people that do that. You know, he's got a... Janae and I used to know a fellow, great, we love him to death, but, you know, he would ask you a question. And about the time you got the first two words out, he would say, pardon? You'd have to start over. And so you'd start, you know, you'd give him an answer. He'd ask you another question. You'd start to answer. He'd say, pardon? Right in the middle of your sentence, you know. And it was just a nervous habit of his. He'd been doing it for years. And he kind of gets on your nerves. But you know what? We've got a member of the church here that does that. And I don't care. Hey, I need to consider him better than myself. And if that gets on my nerves, I need to get over myself. You know? We need to be more forgiving of each other and more tolerant of each other's personal imperfections that have nothing to do with sin. You know, as we, and I already mentioned this fact a minute ago, but you know, members are going to progress at varying rates, and there are different people that are on that growth line. In Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul said, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, we're not talking about sweeping sin under the rug. We're talking about having the humility and the gentleness and patience to say, not everybody's personalities are exactly what they'd be if I could sit down with them and define how they're going to act. Doesn't matter. Okay? Get over it. Show some tolerance. Show some love. And that's the way that we can preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to press on toward these things that do matter in our characters. We need to help one another to develop our characters and get stronger and be more and more the kind of people God would have us to be. And the things on the right side of the board are important. They're non-negotiable. And we need to help each other on those kind of things and forget about the silly, petty traits. Well, what's the bottom line? The more that each of us grows and becomes more conformed to the image of his Son, the more our inner characters are going to be like Christ, and the more our inner characters are going to be like each other. You know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We're going to look more like each other. And people in the community ought to be able to know a Christian when he's walking down the road, say two words to him, and you know there's something about that guy that's got a kind, generous attitude. He's loving, he's caring, he doesn't use foul language, his behavior is, you know, you don't have to know somebody very long that's trying to live the way God wants them to live till people notice a difference. And everybody in this room ought to be in the same boat on that. We ought to be twins, we ought to look just alike. But there are a lot of personality traits that frankly are meaningless to God. He doesn't care. Doesn't care if you stutter. Doesn't care if you have a tick. Those kind of things are meaningless. And if things irritate me, I need to get over it and forget about it. And if we're spiritual and not carnally minded, and that's really what it comes down to. Okay? If you've got little things about you that are not sinful, but just kind of get on my nerves, and I let that bother me, and I talk behind your back about it, and I'll tell you, that's carnality, and it will tear up a church. And there's no excuse for it. We need to be more tolerant than that. We need to put one another first in these things. Well, that's the lesson for this evening. And I thought maybe that would be good to go with our lesson about character, because they're both vitally important. We really need to concentrate on the things that are important to God, but we just need to get over ourselves on the things that really don't matter. Are you here this evening? You're not a Christian. The kind of lessons we've talked about this evening are the kind of things Christians discuss on a regular basis because we're concerned about pleasing God. That's all we care about. And we want to minimize the things that don't matter, and we don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill about things that really don't matter. But there are things that are important to God, and if they're important to God, they're important to us. If you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian. You need to let him take away all your past sins. You need to repent of those things, confess him as Lord, be baptized into Christ to put on Christ, have your sins washed away, and then you can come up out of that water free of the guilt of every sin you've ever committed, and that's just the start. Then you go to work on that character. You study your Bible and find out what the Lord's character looks like. You find out what the righteousness of God looks like. And you begin to make the necessary changes in your life. And over time, you grow, you get stronger, and your character becomes more and more like the character of Christ. And people can see that in you. That's what God wants for you. That's what life is really all about. And we would encourage you to do that this evening. If there's anyone who's subject to the invitation, come forward and make that known while we stand together and sing.